Radio Prague News.
Over 4,000 cases of bankruptcy were filed in the first half of 2009, nearly 58% more than during the same period of last year. The Bohemia Jazz Fest began its fourth year on Prague's Old Town Square on Sunday with a concert by American saxophonist Chris Potter. And a new study suggests that Czech employees spend one-fifth of working hours on computer entertainment. Over 4,000 cases of bankruptcy were filed in the first half of 2009, nearly 58% more than during the same period of last year. According to the credit management company Credit Reform, which released the information, a total of 891 cases of bankruptcy were filed in June alone, which is a record number for 1 month. The growth in bankruptcy cases is primarily among entrepreneurs, where the frequency of insolvency is up by 87%. Moreover, more than half of the entities filing for bankruptcy in the first half of the year had their cases dismissed for lack of property. Credit Reform expects that by August of this year, the number of bankruptcies filed will have reached the same number as for the whole of 2008. The Bohemia Jazz Fest began its fourth year on Prague's Old Town Square on Sunday with a concert by American saxophonist Chris Potter and several thousand spectators in attendance. The event is to continue in the Old Town through Monday and will then head to other town squares around the Czech Republic, winding up in České Budějovice on July the 19th. The festival's organizers estimate that last year's program was attended by 20,000 spectators in Prague alone. A study by the agency True Connection states that Czech employees spend one-fifth of the average 8.5 working hours on social networks or computer games. According to the study, the most popular application among office workers used during working hours is the Facebook social network, on which 1 million Czechs are reportedly registered. Other applications to which work time is devoted are online strategy games and communications tools, such as Skype and ICQ. As companies in the Czech Republic aim to reduce costs due to the global economic crisis, several companies in the country have recently fired scores of employees for internet surfing and gaming, such as the vehicle manufacturer Tatra and the Ostrava Municipal Council. Turning to sports news, the Czech Republic has won a place in the Davis Cup semifinals after beating Argentina 3-2. In the decisive final match on Sunday, Radek Štěpánek beat Juan Monaco in straight sets. The score was 7-6, 6-3, 6-2. Argentina came back in the first of the return singles when Tomáš Berdych lost in straight sets against the world number 5, Juan Martín del Potro. The score was 4-6, 4-6, 4-6, with the result bringing the tie level at 2 apiece. Czech captain Jaroslav Navratil opted to play injury-recovering Radek Štěpánek in the last game against Juan Monaco, rather than go with the lower-ranked Ivo Minář. And taking a brief look at the weather, conditions are expected to be cloudy to partly cloudy with a chance of showers and temperatures of 22 to 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, a breakthrough in talks with Canada. The reintroduction of visa requirements for Czech nationals may not happen after all. As the Karlovy Vary Film Festival ends, Hollywood star Antonio Banderas recalls the time he spent in Prague in the early 1990s.
I used to wake up very early in the morning, get on my sneakers and just go around town and get lost. I loved that feeling of getting lost in Prague.
Look out for our final report from the Karlovy Vary Film Festival, and we'll also tell you what's new in the world of Czech sport. Stay with us for all that and more. There's light at the end of the tunnel for Czech diplomats battling to prevent Canada from reimposing visas for Czech citizens in response to the large numbers of Roma asylum seekers arriving in the country. According to the Czech Foreign Minister, talks with the President of the European Commission have spooked Canada into thinking twice, and visas now look less likely, although still possible. Rob Cameron has more.
The sense of nervousness coming from Czech officials has been replaced by a sense of optimism that the reintroduction of visas is not, after all, a fait accompli. The breakthrough seems to have arrived after talks between European Commission President José Manuel Barroso and the Canadian authorities, during which Mr. Barroso reportedly raised the threat of imposing visas for Canadian citizens wishing to visit any EU country if Canada reimposed visas for Czechs. Foreign Minister Jan Koholt had this to say on Czech television's Václav Moravec discussion program.
If you're asking me whether Canada is on the verge of introducing visas, the answer is that we have no indication that Canada intends to do so. That doesn't mean they won't introduce them. But what it does mean is that all the data that we've heard about in the last few weeks, all the numbers and so on, are now irrelevant. It means that the results of those talks with the European Commission were significant. Canada is now truly unsure whether to introduce visas or not. We believe this is down to a clear Czech position on one hand, and on the other the fact that we managed to get the European Commission, the EU presidency, and fellow EU members on our side.
An added factor are reports of a slowdown in the number of Czech Romanis arriving in Canada seeking asylum, as well as anecdotal evidence that several dozen Roma families have since returned to the Czech Republic after finding it difficult to make ends meet in Canada. Conditions for asylum seekers from the Czech Republic have apparently worsened due to overcrowding, and many have chosen to return home. However, Mr. Koholt said Canada may still introduce other measures to deal with those still arriving, such as electronic registration for Czech citizens wishing to travel to Canada or tighter controls at Prague Airport. A similar wave of Roma asylum seekers led Canada to impose visas for Czechs in 1997, a requirement that was only lifted 10 years later. According to official Canadian government statistics, around 860 Czech citizens sought asylum in Canada in 2008, more than the number from Iraq or Afghanistan. So far this year, the number is more than 1,700. Those Romanis who have applied for asylum say they are fleeing racial discrimination in their homeland, although critics claim they are economic migrants and victims of a well-organized trade. Canada has so far granted asylum in around one-third of the 335 cases it's examined so far.
Rob Cameron with that report. Now, the 44th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, which has just come to an end in the West Bohemian spa town, will surely go down as one of the best in recent years. Many believe that there was an improvement in the standard of films in competition, while the glitter factor was also high, with Hollywood stars like John Malkovich and Antonio Banderas gracing Karlovy Vary's red carpet. Ian Willoughby was there and has the following report.
Křišťálový globus získává belgicko-kanadský film Anděl u moře. A cenu převezmou osobně režisér Frédéric Dumont.
Cheers at Karlovy Vary's closing ceremony as the Best Film Award was presented to the Belgian-Canadian picture Angel at Sea, the story of a boy whose life is changed when his father imparts a family secret. The picture was something of a surprise winner, beating off unusually strong competition to take the main prize. It also took a second Crystal Globe for Best Actor, which its star, Olivier Gourmet, shared with Paul Giamatti for the latter's performance in Cold Souls. Angel at Sea's director, Frédéric Dumont, was grinning broadly when he spoke moments after Saturday's awards ceremony.
Karlovy Vary is a Class A festival. It's not insignificant. This is going to be all over the Belgian press in the morning. I've got a few projects on the go and I'm currently finishing a screenplay, and it's clear this will help me with those projects. It won't be easy, but this will help. I've proved with this film that I can manage actors, tell a story. I can see the whole process through. This should open doors, at least in Belgium, and maybe in France too, because my next film is a co-production with the French.
Mon prochain film est une coproduction avec la France aussi.
The special jury prize at this year's Karlovy Vary went to the Iranian film 20 by Abdul Reza Kahani. His call for the audience at Hotel Termal to stand up in support of the people of Iran was heeded, It also won the backing of John Malkovich, who said he'd been at the inauguration of Václav Havel and that Iran's time would also come. The Best Director Award at this year's Karla Vivari went to Andreas Drezen for Whiskey and Vodka. Accepting the award, he joked that it was surprising a German comedy would take any kind of prize. Paprika Steen took the Best Actress Award for a stunning performance in the Danish film Applause, while the main documentary prize went to Osadne by Slovak director Marko Škop, who had taken the same award in 2006. The biggest star this year was Antonio Banderas, who wowed both organizers and fans with his easygoing nature. The Hollywood A-lister spent 7 months shooting in Prague in 1992 and was asked by Karla Vivari Festival TV what his strongest memories of that time were.
There are many memories. I cannot just specify one. I remember the big long walks that I used to take on Sundays. I used to wake up very early in the morning, get on my sneakers and just go around town and get lost. I loved that feeling of getting lost in Prague, in the Malostranja, just to interact with people that I was finding. I started reading, actually, Czech literature. I read Kafka. I remember that, reading the process in a beautiful terrace by the river, things like that is what I remember. And people, the human factor, very important too.
Antonio Banderas received a Festival President's Award at the 44th Karla Vivari. The more prestigious Crystal Globe for Outstanding Artistic Contribution to World Cinema was presented to three film greats: French actress Isabelle Huppert, Czech animator Jan Švankmajer, and the American actor John Malkovich.
Ian Willoughby there with our final report from the Karla Vivari Film Festival. If you missed any of the previous reports, you can check them out at radio.cz. Now it's time for our regular Monday sports roundup with Jan Vellinger.
It was a remarkable weekend for Czech tennis, and fans were jubilant. They had good reason to be. Players Radek Štěpánek and fellow teammates proved triumphant in the quarterfinal of the Davis Cup. It'll be the first time they've reached the semis since 1996. At the weekend, the Czechs faced last year's finalists, Argentina, and in the end proved one the better, beating their opponents 3-2. The deciding match in Ostrava set Radek Štěpánek against Juan Monaco. Earlier, Štěpánek had complained of a foot injury, but lost no stride in taking apart his opponent. The final score, 7-6, 6-3, 6-2. Afterwards, here's what the Czech player had to say.
Physically, I didn't feel all that strong before the match, so I focused on one point at a time. Winning the first set was a huge boost. The feelings I have now are unbelievable.
The success means that the Czechs will next face Croatia in the semis in September. Fans will be hoping that Štěpánek and co. will be able to get past them to face either Spain or Israel in the final. Turning to football, Czech international Pavel Nedvěd, recently retired from Italy's Juventus, has turned down all manners of offers to return to the beautiful game. At the weekend, he said thanks, but no thanks, to Juve rivals Inter Milan and coach Jose Marino. According to the papers, the player took the offer seriously, but he told La Gazzetta dello Sport that he couldn't betray his former club. Nedvěd also turned down an offer by Juventus to join the coaching staff. And he also said no thanks to Czech national football coach Ivan Hašek, who had hoped he might bring back the attacking midfielder one last time. The Czech team is in dire need of extra talent in its bid to make next year's World Cup. They'll have to do it without him. Nedvěd has hinted that if he does return to the pitch, it won't be in Europe, but possibly in the United States. After 9 stages of the grueling Tour de France, 23-year-old cyclist Roman Kreuziger is hanging in at 14th spot, 2 minutes 40 seconds off the race leader, Italian rider Nocentini. Kreuziger, who rides for Liquid Gas, told the Czech daily Mladá Fronta Dnes he had suffered in recent stages in the Pyrenees, but now felt back in form. Kreuziger is riding in what is, only his second Tour de France. Last year he finished 12th overall, and this year is hoping to break into the top 10. In other news, Czech rower Mirka Knapková triumphed in Lucerne at the weekend to become the Women's Single Scull World Cup champion. It is the second time she has clinched the title in her career. The 28-year-old racer enjoyed ideal conditions and crushed the competition, beating New Zealand's Emma Twigg by almost 5 seconds. And finally, Czech star hockey goalie Dominik Hašek, set to return for Pardubice in the Czech Extraliga Hockey League, has reportedly expressed dissatisfaction over his new helmet. Not the item per se, but its design, 30% or so of which will be covered by advertising. Unlike in the NHL, sponsors in the Czech League bring in the highest club revenues, and that means Hašek will not have his way. The ads will remain. His club said that any other decision would be risky, potentially worth losses of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of crowns, if a sponsor were to back out of a contract. One thing will remain the same, though. The helmet will still feature the characteristic cage Hašek has always used in his career. And that's all the sport for today.
My thanks to Jan Wellinger. If you've just joined us, welcome to the program. You're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time to meet Igor Klimeš, who spent a year working on the Czech provincial reconstruction team in war-torn Afghanistan. In this edition of One on One, he's interviewed by Ian Willoughby.
Igor Klimeš recently came home after spending a year as deputy leader of the civilian part of the first Czech Provincial Reconstruction Team, or PRT, in war-torn Afghanistan. As a project manager, he oversaw a raft of activities, including the rebuilding of schools and hospitals and the construction of a dam. When we met in Prague, I asked Igor Klimeš if he'd worked on any projects in Afghanistan of which he was particularly proud.
Well, all of them. Any of them has its benefits. Any of them, and all of them are kind of a special, because after all, it was a first year of Czech PRT, so we were new. We were learning new things. I'm quite proud of one of the smaller projects, which is the bridge over the Logar River, where we were able to persuade a community to participate on that bridge and to build the road which connects their village with that bridge and with the other side of the river and the main road, which means that their participation and their involvement was real, and it was something that you could really feel. And this is something that we tried hard with all of our projects, but this one seems to be particularly successful. It's not finished yet, so we still have to wait if it will really work out well, but so far it seems working really good.
What were the most difficult of the projects you undertook?
Well, I already touched that. To explain to Afghan people that they need to be the ones who are in charge of that, and who also are the ones who are responsible for their own future. After so many years of the foreign aid helping Afghans with their problems, you can feel that there is an atmosphere of aid dependency, and unfortunately a lot of PRTs are still doing that, still delivering the aid without including local community, without pushing them to their involvement. So what we tried hard was really to get the participation from the Afghan side, and not only in the process of the preparation, but really also something specific like in-kind contribution or in cash contribution. We were not that much successful, but after all, it was the first year. Afghans are not used to get that from PRTs, so I think that first small successes that we had are really enough for the first year. And yeah, this is hard, but this is the way we have to go.
What about the security side of things? How much danger were you and your team in?
Well, I have to say, fortunately, none of Czech members of the civilian team were never attacked. We were never part of any major security incident, except a few exceptional cases when the base, Schenk itself, was attacked. So I have to say that probably due to good work of the Czech army and a good portion of luck, and probably also thanks to the good relation that we built with the local partners, with the Afghans, we were quite lucky, and we had no injuries in the civilian team, and no fatalities, so it's good.
Were there any particularly dangerous situations or dangerous things you had to do?
Well, of course, the attacks on the base were not very pleasant, and they were quite dangerous, I suppose. You tend to learn how to live with that. So after 1 year or after first few attacks, you're kind of, how to say, resistant. And you don't feel the danger as much, and you react more automatically without so many emotions. I just remember one thing that was kind of a funny, when the helicopter was coming down for me and the base was attacked absolutely out of usual concept during the morning, and no one informed the crew of the helicopter, so they landed basically under the fire, and the last rocket landed just, I think, 10 minutes before they landed, and they waited for me at the heliport, but I was still in a bunker, so I had to ask for the permission to move from the bunker and run to the heliport. So it was time when I felt in a danger, because I was like, yeah, now the base is under the attack and I'm out of the bunker running through the heliport, but everything went fine. So yeah, but usually the situation or the army informed us quite quickly about incoming danger, and we were able to move into the bunkers quite quickly.
My cousin was an aid worker in Afghanistan, and he told me that he didn't tell his parents even exactly where he was. They would be worried if they heard something on the news. How much contact did you have with your family, and how much were they aware of what you were going through?
Well, of course you don't tell your closest people everything about the situation there, and you kind of hide the exact nature of the danger, because they are not able, you know, looking at the situation from outside, it always seems worse than it is inside. So, and it doesn't help, because you cannot explain it, because people will probably not understand it. So I did probably the same thing, and I have hidden most of the stuff. But at the same time, the media coverage, thanks to the big army presence, was quite comprehensive. So of course they knew what is going on security-wise in Logar, and they knew what the situation is. The good part of being with the Czech army, except all the other things, was that the connection with the Czech Republic is quite smooth and is always readily available. So we were able to call home without any big restrictions, because army just have the capacities to make this available for you.
How stressful was it, and how did you deal with the stress?
I have to say that I was really stressed. Like, stress coming from the outside danger or from the security situation faded away, or you don't feel it after really like few weeks up to few months. What is bigger danger is the stress coming from the work itself. There is just enormous load of work that you can do, and it is very difficult to keep yourself working only certain time a day and not allowing to be overworked after first 3 months, let's say. So this was kind of a difficult, and I don't think I managed that well, but after all I survived and I did my job, so it wasn't that bad. But there were certain moments when I felt that we are working really way too much, and we should have some break.
I understand that the Czech Republic is going to have a provincial reconstruction team for 5 years in Afghanistan. The first year is over. Would you yourself go back?
Not now, definitely. I think it wouldn't be for the good of the cause, because I feel I need rest. I feel I need to take a break, not only from the military environment, but also from the development work as it is. It's very demanding experience, and it's very demanding job, so and you really kind of get involved in the in the lives of other people, it can be very difficult. And I feel that I'm over that, and I need some break to replenish my batteries. But in the future, I cannot really say. I would never come back again. But this year or the year after, I am definitely staying back home.
That edition of One on One with Igor Klimesh was first broadcast on March 30th of this year, and it brings us to the end of today's programme. Radio.cz is where you will find us online, should you like to get in touch. Then our email address is english@radio.cz, or you can send your letters to Vinohradska 12, Prague, postal code 12099. We'll be glad to hear from you. As always, this is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today, and goodbye.